Welcome to the Pulitzer Prize nominated Grunt Free Press podcast. It's a write-in category. I mean, it's not actually on the ballot, but nominated. Somebody wrote one in, I think. Might have been me. This is episode 237 of the winter season. Cabin fever set in around mid-September, about 5 years ago. www.gruntfreepress.com is the website. There's stuff there. Not new stuff, but stuff nonetheless. I'm Absolute Deicide. podcast@gruntfreepress.com is the email address. And it is sweeps week, so I'm going to talk about Baby Yoda later on. Just having Baby Yoda, just mentioning that in your episode, I've heard. You know, if you write it in your description of your show, that's enough to drive traffic up 33%. And Baby Yoda isn't trending anymore. I guess it was too late, and now everybody hates Baby Yoda. And now Baby Yoda is a white supremacist symbol. So, perfect for us. Well, at least he had a real surge in popularity there for a while. A real surge too, you could say. If there was a subtitle to Surge 2, that probably would have worked better. You could have said, like, Surge 2, I don't know, Baby Yoda or something like that. But there's not. It's just called Surge 2. So, yeah, The Surge 2, it's a sequel to The Surge. And for all intents and purposes, I would say it's better than the first game. That's all you can really ask for. It's definitely not a complete reinvention of the series or the Souls genre. That, you know, that it basically is like a Souls game. It's not anything really too new with that, but I kind of alluded to this last week. You know, what set The Surge apart from just about every other game that's trying to ape Dark Souls? And to be fair, I mean, it's not like there's like a glut of fucking bad Dark Souls clones out there everywhere. It's not like fucking, you know, it's not like this is like a million battle royales. It's not like, oh, all these fucking Dark Souls clones. Never really was that, really. I mean, there were some out there. At this point, I mean, it's kind of like that style of combat, of like the Souls-like combat. It's just kind of how you do like modern third-person. If you're going to make like an action game, it's like, well, this is how it works. I mean, this works. This system works fine. It feels good and shit. So why wouldn't you do that? Even like the language of those games, which is so like alien and cryptic when the first Dark Souls came out, where it's like, you know, you have like bonfires and like fog walls and all that shit. It's like, what the fuck does that mean? It's just this weird fucking thing in this one game. It's like, games kind of have taken that and they'll just use that in there. It's like, yeah, okay, it's just, again, just kind of to the point now, it's just like, that is what it is. Like the souls as currency that you lose when you die, then you can retrieve them. That's just kind of like out there now. Like, nobody would be like, what is this crazy shit? I mean, like, people just kind of know what that is now, regardless if they played Dark Souls or not. They probably played a game like that, or it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like, fuck, you know what I mean? It's not like, is that complicated of a concept to begin with, but again, it was just kind of weird when Dark Souls or Demon Souls first came out. This is kind of a weird fucking way to fucking like go about things, but it works. Then again, it's just shit that works and people are taking little elements of it. And I say that as somebody who played the first Dark Souls when it was brand new. And yeah, you know, I'm perfectly fine with other games taking elements from it. You know, if it works, fucking use it. You know, why wouldn't you? I mean, like the new fucking Assassin's Creed games use that pretty much the same combat system, the lock on and fucking whatever the shoulder is for attacks and shit like that, attacking and blocking. And Darksiders 3 was basically a fucking Souls game, you know, and until someone figures out something else that's fucking better. I mean, just again, use it. You know, it'd be like you're playing a bunch of platformers back in the day, and you know, just saying like, these are all these fucking Mario likes that are out there. These games are all just like fucking Mario Brothers, all these platforming games, and you know, so I can. They all have their own thing, and they just pull little elements of it. So, the first game, the Surge, that was pretty close to just being like a Souls-like. In the combat department, it was a fucking hard-ass game, too. Like, the first Surge was no fucking joke. I think I even said it was more difficult than fucking Dark Souls, and I played it. I still think it is fucking, it's a hard fucking game. At the very least, it's definitely more technical. Like, it's more like technically demanding than Souls or the directional blocking. I mean, in the Surge, you pretty much live or die by directional blocking. It's not, you know, it's not just fucking you're worrying about like dashing and using iframes and. Like invincibility frames, that's a fucking nutty thing to be expected to understand and pull off. But the way it works in the Souls game is fucking. It's like you just have like you know you just can't get hit during a certain time when you're rolling. Once you it's like okay, that's all it is, and you just press one button at the right time. The dodge is like okay, you get like the timing down and shit. That's all you're doing. but in the Surge, you have LB blocks. But you really like don't want to just straight up block everything. It's not just you can hit one button and block and you'll be safe or whatever. Like you don't want to do that. You're gonna take damage if you just sit there and just block normally. It's gonna wipe out your stamina bar pretty quick, and then you're just gonna get fucking knocked around. And you know every subsequent attack after you fucking your stamina bar is drained, you try blocking, it's just gonna go right through. So it's not like you don't want to just straight up I'm just gonna be blocking or I'm gonna be dashing, like that's not gonna work. Like you need to parry, like you have to do that. So maybe the proper term for that would be directional parrying rather than directional blocking, I guess, but whatever. That doesn't sound as good. It's tricky to pull off. I mean, I still couldn't tell you like exactly when like the parry is active, really, like when the exact moment you're supposed to be parrying. Whether you have to press like LB and you're pressing LB and you're pressing the right stick in the direction where the attack's coming from, and you have to like you know do those both simultaneously. Or you fucking like hold L, like I don't even know, like I mean, can you just like sit there and hold LB and that doesn't like activate it until you press like a direction or I don't entirely know. It's just like a feel. It's like a feel thing you have to fucking do. It's like LB is block and then the right sticks the like what direction you're blocking in. But as far as like fucking like when the shit activates in between there, you just have to like learn it. Like sometimes you nail it and it just comes naturally. So, you know, just go through like a series of fights, just like perfectly. Like, it's like, oh, parry, you're fucking like fine. Then other times you don't know what the fuck you're doing wrong and you swear you're doing the exact same thing that worked before. And you get fucking like trampled. It's fucking like, I don't know like what's going on. It's like just a split second thing. I'm off. I'm getting fucking hit. I don't know what I did, but, you know, it's like that extra layer of both learning like the precise time you have to, you know, you have to, the window you have for parrying. So, you're fucking learning the enemy attack animations, you know, you're burning that into your head of like, fucking like, all right, well, when he has like a wind up, like a tell, and then like, all right, it's going to be like this amount of time before he hits me. Like you have to learn all that shit. So, you know, you gotta do that, and then, you know, then you have to do, like, the direction on top of that, too. So I was stuck on fucking some of the bosses, early bosses, too, like for hours. And then, like, it does feel, like, great when you nail down the parries. And then, like, still, it's like, all right, you'll be sitting there fighting the same boss for hours, and like, all right, I know exactly when I'm supposed to be blocking, and, like, you have that in your mind. And then, like, you'll just walk, like, 2 feet, and, like, after you beat him, then, like, the simplest, lowest-level grunt will just fucking, like, slaughter you afterwards, because you just, like, it's just, like, locked into, okay, to parry, I just have to, this is how it works, again, let's fucking go back to, like, I'm not quite sure when what you're doing exactly with the two things, with the, between like the blocking and the parry or whatever, like the, you know, using the stick. But it's like, oh, you just like get into what you, you know, the timing of it, of doing both of those things. It's like you have to switch it up. It's like, oh, I just fucking, like some guy just like chopped my head off in 2 seconds, and you say fucking wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. So all right, so now's the time when we take a breath and take a step back and explain what the Surge 2 is about before we get too far ahead of ourselves. Basically, the story doesn't matter in the Surge 2. There's something about a plague of nano machines or something that's infecting people and animals and turning them into cyborg zombies or whatever. You know, even the game itself doesn't really take any of that too seriously. It's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor about everything. After you escape prison, you, I mentioned the first episode, like the game starts off, you're in prison, and then like the first level is like, all right, you escape, then you walk out into Jericho City, and it's this walled off, half destroyed, half infected with like nanite shit place that's still this, but it's still fairly like bright and colorful, and it almost reminds me of like Sunset City from Sunset Overdrive. There's even some of that it's like, we're having fun during the apocalypse, like that type of vibe going on, where it's still you go into like these non-combat areas, like bars and clubs and shit, where people are like drinking and getting wasted and like dancing and shit, and not caring, like not giving a shit about that there's a fucking nanite tornado in the sky or whatever. It's just fucking, it's just like, I don't know, dude, we're just fucking like partying, we're fine. One of the first people you meet is this cult leader. Like as soon as you walk out of the prison, the guy who greets you there is like, oh, hi, I'm fucking, he's got like a robe on and a fucking like staff and shit, and he worships the nano machines, and he's kind of goofy sci-fi B-movie camp, and he has like this enclave that of people who follow him, and he wants you to kill his brother who's leading like a rival cult or whatever. Like he's got his own thing going on, like another part of the city. And this guy wants you to take him out. And that seems like it's going to be like the main conflict of the game, which is going to be like this, one cult leader versus the other, and their mother is some kind of like queen or whatever, like the queen of the city, the cult queen or whatever. But I mean, then you play, you make it to the brother fairly quickly, within like 5 or 6 hours of playing. It's like, oh, hey, go kill my brother. And like a few hours later, it's like, oh, there he is. And you fight him. I was thinking there's going to be like a build up where you're, you have to like hunt down his lieutenants and all those like mini bosses and shit, or you're, attacking like different parts of his side of the city and like, weakening his operation or anything, something like that. But, just fucking pretty much make your way through the first hub of the game, then it's fucking, go to his little section, and then there's a fog door he go through, and then, like, up, there he is, there's fucking, he's in this fucking Dr. Octopus robotic mech suit. And, that's a real, it's a fucking hard-ass fight, too. It's a real trial by fire pretty early on. That's when you start to appreciate how intricate the combat is, the mech suit he's in. He's got like three legs, and you can target each of the legs and fucking, attack him and try to like, destroy him. But it's tricky to do because as he's moving around, he's like slinking, he's fucking just flipping over himself, and the fucking, one leg might be in the front, and then you'll switch his weight to the back one, and then he'll flip over, and it's like, all right, well, now he's fucking, on the complete opposite side, he's attacking with like the two other arms or whatever. So the only way to like assure that you're safe is to stay under, you just have to like look like whatever leg is on the ground that's like supporting him. Like you want to be under that one when he's going like ass up backwards and like fucking flipping around and shit, because he has to like support his weight on one of those. So it's like, all right, this is what you want to be under. You can't just like keep like attacking one, you can't just fucking like focus on one and attack it, because he's gonna be switching around and shit, and that won't be the safe one to be near. So you press like left trigger, I think, when you're locked on to something. Like for him, it's like, you know, the first thing you lock onto are the legs, but then you press left trigger. It starts highlighting these other shit on like the inside of his body that you can like highlight those and like center on those. And he's got like little robot arms and like cooling tanks and shit, and like the center where like his actual body is. And yeah, once you're more centered like that, like once you're more towards the middle of his body, it's easier to fucking like see and like read him and shit. At the very least, I mean, you know, you can. I'm not sure exactly like what the strategy is supposed to be, if he's supposed to like take his arms out or like those cooling tanks or what. I mean, I just kind of like did whatever was there. It didn't really matter too much, but you know, at the very least, it's like, hey, there's like a better camera angle, so I can fucking, again, you're not like focused on this one leg that's gonna be, it's gonna fuck you over. So yeah, it's very straightforward. Like, as difficult it is, I thought like that fight was pretty hard. I mean, as difficult as it is, it's just pretty, just like a straightforward fight. There's no, that I know, like there's no like cheap like tricks or anything like that to get around him. I probably died like 25 times just to him, and you know, just all you're really doing, just, you know, target limbs and just take the health down enough so you can amputate them. And you know, like the rest of the game, just directional parries. That's the name of the game. That should be the subtitle: The Surge 2, Directional Parries. And you know, every standard enemy and boss that you fight, it's just like the same shit over and over. You just learn the parry window and pattern, and you can just beat everything. It's very based around counters, so just, you know, counter attacking the, you know, parries, and they, you know, they'll back up a little bit and be stunned for a couple minutes, and you just go in there and do more damage. You get free hits in. I'm usually not a fan of like counter heavy combat. I don't like having to wait and react to what's happening rather than like being aggressive and going out there. But you still have to be aggressive at some point, no matter what, to build your battery reserves back up so that you can heal yourself. Because again, the way you recharge your batteries, you have to attack, and that like charges it up. So you can't just like sit there and just, I'm just going to parry. It's kind of like, there's like a safe window somewhere. You can go in there, get a few hits in, and you know, then wait for your stamina to come back up, and then try to parry. So yeah, you kill Doc Ock there. And the quest is to go back to the other brother who hired you, where you think once you did that, once you went back to like his base, this is just like, all right, you'd come up, you know, it's like, oh, I killed your brother. And then like the storyline would progress, and, you know, he would give you more missions to go to try to help out the cult or whatever. And, you know, the, story would go from there. But before you can even get back to his base, like almost immediately after that fucking octopus boss fight, that original cult leader guy, brother there, he ambushes you, and you have to like fight him and kill him. And so you know, it's like 5 hours into the game, it's like you just like every like NPC that you met that you thought was going to be important, it's like, oh, I just murdered them, like they're gone already. It's like, what the fuck is that? So I thought that was pretty funny. It's just kind of like unexpected. It, you know, it seemed like they're gonna be like this big build up between the two, like this family and shit, and then it's like, no, they're both dead. Like you just fought them like pretty like the first and second boss fights of the game, and they're gone. I mean, the obvious route would have been for them to, you know, to have you side with one of the brothers and, you know, maybe do like a split, you know, like fucking like, oh, choose your path. Which one do you fucking choose or whatever? But it's like, no, just fucking no like real branching paths, really. It's just fucking, you just go and, all right, this one's dead. The other one's dead. That's it. You figure like, oh, you know, you'd side with the original guy and he'd like stab you in the back towards the end of the game. But it's just bang, you know, that storyline's dead. Kind of like back to square one. And just fucking, it's like, what do I do now? I don't know. I just go to fucking just send you somewhere else. Like, oh, go investigate this area over here. It does end up circling back, you know, you have to fight the cult leader brother like two more times. And like, he's, you know, he's like resurrected or whatever. And it brings up, the mother comes in as like, just she'll be on with the TV and shit in the background, but her boss fight just kind of like, oh, here she is or whatever. It's some fucking robot or some shit that you fight. That's like, it's just fucking, that's kind of like the background stuff. That doesn't really matter. So again, the story in general, it doesn't fucking matter, but overall it's just the plot's like scatterbrained, where it's just go do shit, go to the next area, like, I'll go investigate this hub, and then fucking like, all right, you're done. Then they just open up the next area. Like, okay, go fucking fuck around in that. And each hub has its own theme. I think after you kill, the brother or whatever, you're in like a forest where, a group of hunters set up a trap to take down this big giant like nano beast or whatever, and the goal of that area is like just following all these hiking trails through the woods, and you have to activate some jammers that'll all trap and fight the thing that they're after. It's pretty, like, everything's pretty like disconnected from each other. It's like, it just seems like, hey, we made a cool, this cool forest level, just go do shit in it. Like go explore it. It's got its own little characters, and like, just go do that. Then go to the next one. This is what it seems like. So you do that, you kill the nano beast, and then you go to a laboratory and like a quarantine checkpoint and like a hospital and shit. Yeah, it's just like a series of places to go and things that happen within them. That's pretty much like the story, how it goes. It's all pretty well designed, the world and shit. I say they're disconnected. I mean, like, just the way they look and shit, and it's very just, here's this thing, like, here's this theme, and then, but there's always like shortcuts and like wraparounds everywhere, opening doors to go to. It's like, oh, you open a door, it's like, oh, here's where it was before. You're always picking up key cards or gaining new abilities to like get to places you couldn't reach before, or open a door, it circles back around to like a med bay that you used at the beginning of the game. It's like, okay, well, that's what that door was. It just took me, fucking 12 hours of going through everything else before I could circle back around here. It can still be a bit on the confusing side, like what areas connect to what, and yeah, you might be trying to go in one direction in your head, just fucking like, oh, I want to go north or whatever, whatever the fuck you do. And I know where this area is, and it's this way. I have to keep like going forward here, straight line. And then you end up on like the complete opposite side of the city you wanted to be, because like some of the paths aren't really that clear. Like what's, it's like, might be like a path up and a path down. It's not really, it's like, oh, this look, like it'll look like a minor little thing, like a side area to like a secret or something. And it's like, oh no, that's like the main path you have to go, dude. Or you take one, it just takes like a hard right somewhere or some shit. And then you get to like a locked door you can't get to. And again, it's like, maybe like you'll circle around later and unlock it. Like, all right, it makes more sense now. But like initially it's just fucking, it's like, it's kind of confusing, like trying to get around. Or they'll like transition you to somewhere else. Like, you're gonna see like a door and just be like, oh, this looks important, this is kind of where I want to go. It's like, oh no, you're in some areas completely separate, like you're in some like underground sewer or whatever. But it is such a fucking improvement over the first Surge. I mean, the first game was mostly what I remember of it. It's just fucking a lot of like tunnels and hallways with very few distinguishing features in any of them. If you ran through the fucking areas in the Surge 2 long enough, like if you played it, it's kind of just like the main story and just fucking like, all right, I'm trying to get to where they're sending me, and still ended up like exploring quite a bit. But it's like, if you really like went in there and got into it, it does like start to stick, like what paths lead where. It's like, okay, I know this area, I know fucking where to go. There's a tunnel over there that'll fucking lead me to this other area. Like, it does like get in your head. So it's, again, it's fucking just very, it's still thing it says a little confusing, but it's not like fucking like the first one was just fucking, all right, there's tunnels, I have to remember to go like left and then right and then fucking like straight, and everything kind of looks the same. It's like, no, there's like, you can tell like what's what. It is this fucking large, twisting, like interconnected open world, though, so it's just kind of like, well, it takes a little bit. But they really did nail the art style this time too. Yeah, before it was just fucking like corridors and still a lot of like twisted metal and shit and just like junk everywhere. Not the game Twisted Metal, but I mean, like the fucking Michael Bay Transformers movies, or just all these fucking metal pieces and parts and junk piles like thrown together. That's what they're going for. Like the first game, it just kind of came across as kind of messy and like confusing to look at. Like you weren't really sure what you were looking, what you were supposed to be looking for. But I mean, there's still a lot of color in the Surge too. Like shit, again, shit just sticks out. I mean, it's still like might be random like steel spikes sticking out of the ground and like the walls and shit. And yeah, you know, then again, yeah, there's the Michael Bay Transformers, nanopixel monsters and shit. But they took like what worked in the first game, like they just improved like the visibility and the playability and like the readability of everything. So say it doesn't look like fucking mess thrown together. It's like, well, it's messy, but there's like something there you can like get out of it. You know, you can fucking like tell what you're supposed to be looking at. I'd still kill for like an actual map of the city. I mean, I could like something I could just bring up, like hit the back button or whatever. Like, oh, here's a map, like fucking, I don't know, like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order or whatever. Which, I mean, that one was still confusing. And I bet if you did have a map in the Surge 2, it'd still be pretty confusing as far as, like, all this shit, like, connecting and all that. But it'd be nice to just look at, just to have, like, okay, I shouldn't go down this fucking path. It's going to take me to the forest or whatever, you know. I mean, they do have, like, these maps you can look at on like, certain walls. Like, you'll enter a new area, and it'll be up on a wall somewhere. You can hold, like, the X button, and it focuses and zooms in and shit. It'll show, like a you are here type marker. And it'll have, like, the 10 or so, like, general hubs or, like, zones in the city. And so you can look at that and have like a general sense of direction by, you know, look at that. Like, I'm in like the Cloud Nine bar and I want to go to the fucking whatever Great Wall. Okay, well, that's like north or whatever. So again, he's like, all right, I'm going to try to head north as much as I can. But again, a real map that you could reference whenever you wanted to go, like whenever you wanted to fucking like look at, like that would have gone a long way, I think. It would help like alleviate those moments of confusion, you know, when you're like, you know, fuck, I've just been going like fighting guys for a long time and I don't know where I'm supposed to be headed or if I'm close to anything, or like, you know, I know there's a med bay somewhere nearby, but I just can't fucking see it. Like if I take the wrong path or whatever, I just look to, like overlook some little side area. Like I'm just going to completely miss this shit. I'm going to like lose all my shit. And then it'll stumble into a boss fight out of nowhere and be like, fucking Jesus Christ. I have to go through that entire thing again and try not to die before, if I want to try and get my souls or like my scrap back or whatever, you know? I get that being like a little bit lost is part of like the genre, where they want you to like explore, like discover shit, not just have everything be completely like linear. But I get like, oh, you know, Dark Souls didn't have a map, so we don't need a map type of thing, you know, fucking that they'll figure it out. But yeah, you know, since the Surge 2, it is a different type of game. It's fucking, yeah, the game is basically, the whole hook is just fucking action, action, action. Like you're always fucking like fighting pretty much. And there's also more like Metroidvania shit to it, where you're acquiring mobility tools and, you know, you like zip lines you can ride up and fucking power attacks later on to like break down like walls and shit. Just because it's more of that, it just feels more like a Metroid type thing. You know, the map would, again, a map would have helped a lot. Towards the end of the game, they pull in Andor Londo, after you kill Big Tits in Dark Souls, where everything gets darker and it transforms and the enemies get harder. It's more of like a drastic change than in Dark Souls, because instead of like just that one, instead of just Andor Londo, like, oh, this city just fucking changed into something, something different. The entire like world of fucking the Surge 2 like changes. It's pretty cool. Around then, it's probably the last third of the game. That's when like a lot of like the mobility shit opens up. Like that's around then is when you start getting like the zip lines and the fucking like, then you can start fast traveling between like safe houses and shit. And it, you know, then it also gets more confusing on top of that, where it's like, oh, I just learned like the paths they have to go to, but it's like, oh, well, now I have like this other option. It's like, I haven't been down this zip line yet. And you go, it's like, all right, now again, I'm like in a completely different fucking area, like way off somewhere. You know, you see a zip line in front of you and it's fucking, you know, it could be a brand new area. It could be a shortcut. You know, it could be like a secret or something like that. And just, you know, the entire city's open and what you kind of like backtrack into at that point. Just saying, I wish I could just pull up a map and just see like, oh, okay, this connects to this. Like, all right, that makes more sense. But yeah, the Surge 2, definitely a good game. Exactly what you would want from a sequel, I think, is, you know, it's more ambitious. It's better put together. I mean, they simplify what needed to be simplified. You know, like the leveling and crafting, which you just fucking take like any weapon and armor pieces through the entire game, and they're still viable if you like them. You just fucking upgrade them with, you know, you get like more, you know, like the base of what you might get later on might be more powerful or whatever, like have better stats, but you can just break it down, just like keep upgrading what you have, and it works. You can do like the fashion souls type of shit, you know. It's like just take what you think looks good or whatever weapon you like using and just keep feeding it. You know, just keep like feeding it the other shit you're finding. It's like, all right, you can just fucking just keep using it. It's cool. Like by the end, you like this, you know, mishmash of like different types of armor and fucking, because it's, you know, it's fucking, it's like, oh, I got something. It's like, oh, this was a little bit better. So I used that like fucking an hour one and found something else like halfway through the game. And so it's just fucking, you have like this giant fucking like arm and, you know, giant arm, skinny little legs. And I had like my starting helmet, like this big bulky red left arm and like a sleek gold right arm I got from like some fucking like living statue enemy and shit. So I thought it looked cool. It's like, got some like camo military vest and that's a big fucking bulky frame. That looked like, it almost looked like fucking like Fallout power armor. So anyways, you know, it is like this beautiful like cobbled together mess the whole fucking game. So, you know, it's really hard to say. I went through it, I beat it, blah, 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 you know, big deal. You know, I am a big deal. But no, it's kind of hard to say much more about it other than like, yeah, I really had fun playing it because, you know, it is just so combat. That's like the fun of it. It's just fucking like going and like fighting and just like, that's it. You know, keep moving forward. It's all about like that core gameplay, which is really fucking solid. So there you go. You know, hopefully they make a Surge 3 and it's even surgier. And they can call it Surge 3 Leon A or some shit like that. Yeah, Surge. Not the soft drink. I don't think anybody's ever made that joke before.
Yeah.
was getting a little bit nasally there towards the end. So sorry about that. In other news, no new video games are coming out ever, or at least they're all delayed. Every game ever made is delayed now. So once again, Grunt Free Press provided you with the most accurate E3 predictions of last year, that every game that had an announced release date was going to be bullshit. All the dates they gave you were going to be wrong, and they were all going to be pushed back. So it's almost like there's a pattern there or something. Like the Final Fantasy VII remake that was delayed before years ago. It was like, it's coming out, and whatever the fuck they said, 2018 or something. Probably not. And they got an entire new development team and a new fucking entire new game engine. Which I'll remind you, when that was announced, when they fucking were like, oh yeah, we're starting over with a new engine, years ago, when I said, there's no way the game's going to be out. There's no way it's going to be done before fucking 2020. I says, and yeah, some fucking Final Fantasy faggots, were like, nuh-uh, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know, whatever. Final Fantasy is pretty gay anyway. I don't really care, but reality is reality. Not fantasy. So I don't really fucking care. If that game came out around now, like right now, again, there's really nothing coming out new that fucking is interesting in the next couple months. Well, Doom Eternal, which also got delayed. Also Doom Eternal, from everything I've heard, it's tough to take these preview guys' fucking word, but all fucking everything points to I keep hearing this is ridiculous, it's supposed to be amazing. A little hype for that, I will say that, for me. But yeah, Final Fantasy, I don't know, if that came out around now, maybe I would have played it. It's also coming out episodically, I believe, sometime eventually, maybe, never, I have fucking no idea. But I also read something about fucking people who pre-ordered it when it was first, the original release date was announced. They're like, yeah, we can't really honor that anymore. We're just going to cancel everything, and you have to pre-order it again. People have bought hundreds of dollars of special edition shit, and it's fucking just yeah, you have to fucking redo that, because I don't know, just fucking pre-order probably get fucking too old, too long in the system. It's probably no good. And they're this is years ago. we have to make sure your credit cards are up to date or some shit. The Avengers game delayed. Again, I don't really care about that one. Game gotta look like shit, so maybe it's a good idea. They pushed it back, and maybe it won't look like shit by the time it's done. Cyberpunk 2077 got delayed for pushback just a few months, I think. I couldn't tell you exactly when the new release date is, or what the old one was, what the original one was, because again, everything gets fucking delayed or canceled. They usually just fucking don't pay attention to when it's oh yeah, this game's coming out now, or this fucking date. It's okay, we'll see. I mean, I usually just fucking open up Steam or whatever, or I'll see a review is up somewhere, and just say oh, hey, look, a new game's out. Would you look at that? I know Cyberpunk was up for pre-order too, months ago. But CD Projekt Red is one of those developers. I think they've earned the right to delay a game for a while. All the fucking Witcher games were super ambitious and fucking polished when they came out. Cyberpunk 2077 looks to be at least that, at the very least, it's going to be a pretty polished, finish. It's not going to be buggy and shit. It's not going to be a fucking Bethesda game or whatever when it comes out. Even if I'm not swept up in the hype that's surrounding that, there's no question where I'm not saying it's not going to be a technical fucking, technically very good, near perfect fucking Marvel, you know what I mean, when it comes out. Most likely will. I mean, they know what they're doing. Speaking of which, Blade Runner is finally available on modern PCs through GOG. I actually just bought that. I'm probably going to play it after this. I'm like, fucking, again, something I talked about for a while ago. I'm like, fucking, man, I wish I could play that fucking Blade Runner game I played years ago and really liked. And you couldn't find it anywhere, but now you can on GOG. So that's cool. If you want some cyberpunk adventuring while you wait, that's a fucking excellent game as far as I remember. But I mean, the delay that hurt me the most was Dying Light 2. I really wanted that to be like another nice surprise badass game like the first one was. I know they hadn't shown much of fucking Dying Light 2, which I mean, I could have taken that as a red flag. I know, like at E3, the first, like, oh yeah, we're gonna show like fucking gameplay footage or whatever. They showed like, it's kind of like flybys of like, hey, here's a city, and it's like explaining what the game is gonna be like, and it's like, oh, it's coming out whenever, fucking March or whatever of this year. It's fucking like, eh, I might want to show a little bit more than that, but I was really hoping they were just playing their cards close to their chest. I mean, what they did, what they were saying about it sounded fucking amazing. Where, you know, you have to make choices about how to deal with this different settlements' problems, and whatever choice you make, like, it's going to close off options down the road, and it's going to transform how the city works, and the fucking like politics between them and shit. It might cut off like portions of the story completely. Like, if, once you make this choice, like, this whole like section is going to be cut off to you for this playthrough and all that shit. Kind of like The Witcher 2 did. The Witcher 2 was fucking, you could see like the last like third of that game, depending on what you did, was completely different. Like, depending on like a choice you made, which was cool. Yeah, I was hoping for Dying Light 2 to like drop kind of quietly, and then fucking again, like, you know, and heard too many people like, oh man, like, I just want to like grab people and be like, dude, you realize there's a fucking new Dying Light coming out? So I figured it's kind of like release whenever it was going to release, and then, again, like the first game, just be like a word of mouth. People would realize it's like this incredibly well made, unique game with Chris Avellone writing also. The first one came out, everyone's kind of like, sorry, like, oh dude, another zombie game. And then little by little, it was rightfully talked about as like, this is probably one of the best games that came out this year. Like, the game was fucking awesome. I'd argue it was one of the best games of like this generation, like the console generation. It was fucking definitely up there. It was fucking really good. And the developers, Techland, I think they reached almost like a CD Projekt Red levels of like praise for how you're supposed to like treat your players. You know, they kept putting out like free and paid DLC for like years, and just fucking all these different modes and shit. They'd always like put out statements of like fucking like, oh, we just added like a bunch of shit. Like, why not? Like, you know, we just fucking glad you guys are liking it and you guys are still playing it, and fucking like, here, here's some free shit. Like, here's like something or whatever. Some like, whatever, costumes or like little, we added a new fucking like enemy, whatever the fuck they did. You know, it's funny, they just like kept adding shit. You just see over and over. And they're always like put out like statements about just fucking like, oh, we, you know, really fucking appreciate you guys like fucking like spreading word of mouth through this shit. So yeah, I was really looking forward to fucking Dying Light 2. Delayed. I think that one's delayed like indefinitely. Of this fucking like, I don't know, we just need more polish on it, so we're not gonna put it out. Like, we're still gonna just keep working on it until it's done. Again, with the CD Projekt Red parallel there, it's probably for the best. I mean, I trust them. I mean, probably if they just like stock, like, oh yeah, here's the game's out, whatever the date was, here you go. Probably would have had problems. And but I mean, it's been a while since we had games from either of them. Fucking, you know, since the last time, it's been like what, 5-6 years, and The Witcher 3 is about the same. You know, and I'm not gonna live forever. I don't know about them, but speaking of living forever, and there being no new games ever releasing, so I had to dig through the shit that I bought like years ago and never played. One of those games is Frostpunk. That's a game that was hot, ironically enough. I don't know, about like what, 2 years ago it came out, and everyone was really liked it, and I was like, "Oh, it looks cool." I just never played it. I bought it, just never played it. I do like the concept of it, where it takes place in late 1800s England, And there's a sudden and prolonged freezing spell that turns into like an apocalyptic event. And it's just fucking just endless snow and cold and frost. And, you know, everybody frees London with just a giant generator on like a train or a boat or whatever in hopes of just finding some place that's like habitable. That's not going to kill them immediately because it's so cold. So they find a place that kind of works, like a crater in the ground, and you stop and set up a camp with the generator to provide heat, and you have like about like 80 people with you to work and like mine for coal to try to like keep the generator going. You know, just trying to survive in the harsh, cold frost lands. Yeah, the game's like a mixture of city building, kind of like SimCity, strategy, heavy resource management, and like workforce management. It's also like strictly like milestone based, which, you know, to move the story along, it's like, oh, you have to hit this fucking thing, like build this, or, you know, get like, you know, whatever, research this new technology, like that's like your goal, like you have to just keep hitting those to move forward. So you know, it's not like it's not just like a free play mode, it's, I don't know, just build shit and like survive as long as you can. It's like, no, there's like a story and there's a fucking thing you try, like they're always trying to push you to do certain things. My first playthrough took about like an hour and a half, and then the population revolted and they exiled me from the city, so I got like a flat out game over in like an hour and a half, which I wasn't expecting. I mean, I'm not good at these types of games, and my main problem with them is that they let you fuck up and like flop around for hours and hours, just fucking like, oh, I'm getting, I can maybe fix this, maybe not. It's like, no, you couldn't have fixed it hours ago, but we let you like fucking wait. We'll let you just slowly die over the next fucking 20 hours. And before you fucking know it, you fucking wasted all that time of your life with nothing to show for it. You can see any time I've tried to play like a Civilization game or my many, many botched Total War campaigns, they usually turn out like that. Where it's fucking like, am I completely fucked? Oh, maybe not. And then it's like, no, I was completely fucked before. I could have, should have just fucking stopped or like reloaded a save, but I had fucking no idea until it was done. Yeah, but Frostpunk is like small scale, so I can tell what the fuck is going on. Like I can just tell, like see like where the problems are, and like, oh, how I could have planned that and like done it better. So if I start another game, it's like, oh, I just remember to fucking make sure I start mining, you know, cutting down more fucking wood and stockpiling wood earlier because I'm gonna need it. I'm going to need steel and shit, you know what I mean? So it's fucking try to fucking focus on that like early on. So, you know, it's linear and it's trial and error, but I mean, that's fine when, again, the games I played so far have been like relatively short. I mean, the camp that you're building is confined to like the single, like small crater that has, very finite resources. Like you start off and it's like, well, there's four piles of coal, whatever, two piles of wood and steel and shit. And once you gather those, like once those resources are gone, like they're gone, like that's all you have to use at the beginning. From there, you have to like research some kind of like technology at that point to like help you get more if you want. Well, you gotta need more of all that shit. So it's like, well, again, it's just very like milestone based. It's like by the time the coal's gone, you better hope you have technology research to have like a drill or something to fucking mine for more coal. Otherwise it's just gone. You're going to fucking be done. Or, if, you know, once the wood crates are all gone, you better have something to cut down fucking the trees. Cause that's going to be, yeah. Once you're out of wood, you can't build anything. You're like the same shit with like the steel or whatever. So, you'll fail within like an in-game fucking day or two. Like once all that shit's gone, like if you're out of coal, it's like you're gonna fucking be done. But you can go away with the lesson of like, well, next time I'm gonna need make sure I have a fucking like sawmill before anything else. Like, you know, before it's like once the trees start, you know, once the crates start running, the wood supply starts running low, like I gotta fucking, before I start like, well, I can build this and that'll help me out in this area. It's like, no, like you need something, like you need like this, you know, A to B to C, like you need to fucking like go in these steps. You know, and every time you start a new game, you always start on the same map, same setup, same resources, everything. So, you know, he's, again, he's very strict. He's, you know, he's very just, he's a right and a wrong way to do shit. Which is, you know, which, I mean, that's like a positive and a negative, I guess. Where I think you could probably like open up a walkthrough and just follow it step by step and like beat the game of like, this is like the best way to do shit. There are like some random elements, like, the people in the camp will complain about, like, you know, it's like, somebody's getting sick at work, and you can like click on their icon and, you know, you can decide to like give them the day off or not, or like force them to work, and that'll like change like the attitudes. Or, but you know, if you fucking like have them take the day off, then like other people might get upset because they're working sick or whatever. And, or like the weather will change. If it gets even colder than normal for like a day or two, like more people are going to start getting sick and dying. And, some of the buildings won't function if they're too far away from, like a source of heat. Like if it's something on the outskirts away from the generator, it's fucking, it's like, oh, well, it would work before, but now because the temperatures are lower, like all those buildings out there are just fucking like shut down because it's too cold. But yeah, I mean, there's like these set goals you're trying to reach, and it seems like there's, yeah, it's probably like an optimal way to play. So it's also kind of, it's almost like a puzzle game. Than like more, you know, it's not like a traditional like sandbox like city builder. It's not like fucking like free mode and like Sim City. It's fucking like, oh no, just build a city and fucking, you know, try to get like an economy going and see what you can build. And, you know, it's just fucking like, no, you're just trying to like survive, and like these are the goals you have to fucking meet, little by little. The first thing you have to do is build a beacon. It's like this big building that like inflates a balloon over your camp. And that lets you send out scouts to explore points of interest. Well, I mean, in order to build the beacon, you have to build a research center first, to research that technology. And you have to have the required, like, you know, again, it's like the standard. It's like, oh, well, to build this shit, you need like enough wood and coal and steel and shit. And you have to keep an eye on like the basic needs of your population too. You know, it's like fucking, you have to have, you know, food. So it's like, well, the, you know, again, so it's like the main goal is like, all right, build a beacon. It's like, that's step one. But to reach that, you have to, it's like, okay, again, through the, like the learning thing, it's just fucking that learning thing they talk about. It's like, fuck, it's like, oh, well, you know, you need a fucking hunter's shack for, to get raw meat. And then once you have raw meat, you need a processing plant to convert it into rations. And, you know, then your people will start complaining about being homeless, so you have to build them houses for your workers. Or, you know, but if you don't, they'll sleep outside. They have a greater chance of getting sick and dying. And once people are sick, you know, you need to build fucking medical tents to treat the sick and injured. And then once they die, you need a cemetery to dispose of the bodies, and, you know, so on and so forth down the line. But I mean, the main goal is just fucking, you know, get that beacon built and then send scouts out. And that's like the only way that you're going to be able to get more people to replace anybody. And people are going to like die and shit. So it's just fucking, what's like, once you have like the beacon up, it's like, we now have a way to get more people and more resources outside of this little crater. That's as far as I've gotten anyway, you know what I mean? So, you're trying to keep all these plates spinning, which, yeah, that's like the style of these games in general. I know I haven't gotten very far into the grand scheme of things. Like, if you can open up the technology tree, you can see like there's like six tiers to it with all this shit that's fucking, like, it's like, oh, you're basically gonna need like all this shit like as you keep going, like, You're gonna need it to survive. Again, it's fucking, it's like, oh, you have to research the technology to build like better sawmills or whatever. It's fucking, it's like, again, like all this shit's gonna run out, so we gotta just find a way to keep like expanding. And, you know, so right now in the game, it's about, you know, I'm playing a game right now where it's like, oh, no, all the fucking coal piles are completely dry. That's why I have like no way to get more coal. You know, and without coal, the fucking main generator shuts down, and that's definitely a fucking game over. Again, it's like the only source of fucking heat. And once that's gone, it's fucking, that's it. That's the end of the game and the camp and shit. But, you know, I'm researching like drills to like drill down into the ground for like coal reserves or whatever. So it's like, well, if that completes in time before I fucking just completely fucking everybody freezes to death, You know, or fucking, I could build like coal mines because you can like see again. It's like you have like those little piles of resources, and then it's like, oh, well, there's frozen trees, but I can't get to them yet. There's fucking like coal on the fucking like sides of the walls of the camp of the crater and shit. But it's like, well, I can't get to those yet either until I fucking research and build this fucking the coal mines or whatever. So if I can like do that, like that could save me. But this, you know, then it's fucking, it's like, oh, there's a million other problems. It's like, do I even have the wood to fucking build this shit now? And like, oh, you know, all that shit's happening all at the same time. And then, you know, then there's like a countdown on the bottom of the screen. Let's count down like 7 days. And like, once that's up, then a group of mutineers are going to leave the camp and, take other people with them. And depending on how hopeful the people are, yeah, you know, if their hope meter like goes down enough, like they'll leave, and if they're hopeful, then they'll fucking like stay and shit. You know, so that's going on too. And I'm also running out of food, so it's fucking, it's just like, oh, people are dying from the cold. It's like, ah, oh, good. You know what I mean? So it's not really like a bad thing. It's like there's less mouths to feed, I guess. But then the hope meter drops and the despair meter rises, which causes more problems. So. Again, I say, you know, it is like small scale and like focus, but there's still like all this shit going on where it's fucking like, I don't know, like fucking like trying to like prioritize this or that. So yeah, even though Frostpunk is like small scale, it's still pretty like intricate, a lot of shit going on. I do like the depressing, desperate theme where, you know, you're not going to like please everybody. You're not going to like make the city like fucking like working like, well, you know, it's not going to be like this fucking like huge hub that's fucking like going like you're just trying to like survive. Everything's centered around that generator, and it, you know, it might seem like a good idea. I'm just fucking like, well, you know, before I ran out of room and I had to like wait to build like streets to do all this stuff, it's like, oh, it might seem like a good idea. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to set up all my streets first and like, you know, start putting shit like even further away from the generator that doesn't need like heat or whatever. It's like, oh, maybe I'll like immediately build all like the houses and tents and shit and medical tents for everybody and like to try to like do all the shit I know is going to be a problem later on first. But then it's like, oh, they're useless now because it's like freezing cold and you can fucking like put the too far away from the generators or the other buildings are up front. That you're making, and you can like put the generator into like an overdrive mode that'll heat like a larger area around it, and like it'll raise like the temperature up higher, and like, you know, so it's like fucking you're feeding more coal into the generator to do that, and you're putting stress on it. And I would assume that it would eventually, like, it's like, oh, if you just keep it up, like, you're going to run out of coal, number one, because it's doing, like, you know, using, like, twice as much. And I'm assuming that because there is, like, a stress level meter, like, fucking once that goes all the way up, like, it's going to break. And, again, that would be a big game over Greggy right there. Or, you know, or you can build and place these charcoal burners around wherever you want, which gives like a little circle of heat to the places around it. But again, like each one you build, it's like, well, you're burning more coal per hour. You know what I mean? Which I'm running out of. Again, it's just like spinning plates. You know what I mean? So, I'm pretty sure that this second playthrough I'm on is going to be fucked too, but. Still, I mean, it's not, I'm probably like 2 hours into it where it's just fucking, it's like, oh, this is fucked. I can't get out of it. Like, I'll just start another one, I guess. I wouldn't mind that, but I'm not sure exactly how long that'll go on where it's fucking like, oh, I like incrementally get a little bit better and the games last a little bit longer. I don't know if I can make it to like the, obviously, if it ends up being like a fucking 50, 60 hour game anyway, like beginning to end, like I don't know if I can get towards the end of that and then realize I fucked up. Like, it's like at that point I'll just be like, I don't know, I'd probably just stop playing it. But you know, I can see that turning out like every other attempt I make to play through fucking strategy games. Just go, you know, fuck this shit, I'm not wasting my time learning these 50 interconnected systems and failing because of some bullshit I did or didn't do like 10 hours ago. I don't know, I might just be fucking too stupid to play those games. That's a very real possibility. If you're feeling stupid, you can go to www.gruntfreepress.com and you'll be right at home. You can email your stupid questions to podcast@gruntfreepress.com. And I'm Absolute Deicide. Enough said. Oh yeah, Baby Yoda. This is what you're talking about. The Mandalorian. So I watched that on Disney Plus, and it was pretty good. I will say that. It's fucking the Star Wars show about a Mandalorian, and not Boba Fett. But yeah, I mean, they go into like the background of who the Mandalorians are and their fucking religion of like worshiping weapons and whatever the fuck it is. But yeah, I will say, if you're into Star Wars, it's probably one of the best live action Star Wars things that's come out in a long time since fucking Rogue One, definitely. Jedi Fallen Order was good. I mean, that's probably the best fucking Star Wars thing, period, in a long time. But yeah, I mean, the Mandalorian, pretty good. Baby Yoda, I actually liked. I thought I was going to fucking, like, hate seeing fucking, I said, dude, fucking, there's a little Baby Yoda and it's so fucking, like, cute and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be fucking ridiculous. Again, because it's on the fucking Disney Channel or fucking Disney Plus or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, Disney owns Star Wars now. There's probably fucking something ridiculous. But I'm like, yeah, dude, like, he's actually a pretty good character. I mean, like, as just being like a stupid Yoda puppet, Baby Yoda puppet. I mean, they basically fucking ripped off Gizmo from fucking Gremlins. Like, it's the same fucking thing. It's a little fucking Mogwai that the fucking Mandalorian carries around. I mean, they actually ripped off, like, quite a few. I mean, I say ripped off, I mean, they're influenced by quite a few different things. I mean, obviously, it's a fucking nothing new. It's just kind of like a Western. I mean, Star Wars is always, A New Hope in particular, was just fucking just like, oh, it's like a Western, whatever, you know, it's fucking Western sci-fi, which worked. And I mean, the Mandalorian, like the main character, is pretty much like Clint Eastwood, like a man with no name. Just each episode is kind of like its own, for the most part, it's like its own separate little story with him, and then there's like the ongoing through line of him with fucking Baby Yoda or whatever. But yeah, at first I'm like, oh, this could definitely work. Like the first couple episodes, I'm like, dude, I love like what they were doing with that, like the style of how they were filming it, where it wasn't like overly slick and shit. Like it wasn't the main problem I had with the newer Star Wars movies, The Last Jedi in particular, was fucking it just looked like a fucking like set. Like it just looked like a fucking like sterile like kid show or whatever, like a Disney kid show set. Just happened to be like Star Wars themed, like a play or some shit. And everything's like, was like evenly lit. And there were a couple episodes, like, I don't know, it was like the fifth, sixth episode, or like right in the middle of the fucking series where it's like, yeah, it was kind of getting to that where I think it just like looked like so like flatly lit and just, it just looked like fucking like sets and shit. But, yeah, the first couple episodes, I'm like, oh, this should be really cool. Like, they're showing just, like, the fucking, like, the visual style of it, where, you know, they're not afraid to make shit, like, dark and kind of gritty, and, you know, there's, like, a fight, like, a fight with a fucking giant, like, what the fuck it was called, like, some horned beast. It's almost like a rhino, and it's, like, it goes on for, like, 5 minutes, where he's fighting him, and he's getting beat up, and he's, you know, rolling around in the mud, and he's getting, like, slower. It's like, oh, cool. Like, they're, again, like, a Western, like, one of those old Western fucking punch, you know, like fucking like fist fights where this fucking rolling around in the mud and it just goes on for a little bit. It's like, okay, they're not afraid to fucking, you know, get the character like dirty and fucking hurt and slowing down and shit. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And there's some shots where he's, you know, they're showing him walking into the sunset or like away from the sunset where it's almost like, you know, just silhouette and shit. I'm like, this is like cool. Like, you know, looked good. They're not afraid to actually embrace the Western thing, which works a lot. And again, the whole like Baby Yoda thing is just kind of him carrying around the fucking card or like whatever, the little floating ball. And like, this is basically his lone wolf and cub. Again, it's like something else. It's all these influences where they just kind of like straight up rip it off. And then it's like that works in fucking like Star Wars. But like the whole like Baby Yoda thing, it was just fucking, I'm like, I like the fact that I liked it when he was in there and people didn't really, you know, pay too much attention to him. Just fucking looking at him, like, what the fuck is that thing? Like, that worked. I hated when fucking, like, you know, the whole thing is like, oh, everyone thinks fucking Baby Yoda's cute or whatever. I hated, like, in the show when he goes to, like, Tatooine at one point. He goes to fucking Mos Eisley or whatever. And the mechanic there is like, oh, he's a fucking little cute baby, fucking blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, it's like, it's, again, it doesn't like really fit into Star Wars. There's all these fucking like weird aliens and shit. And why does somebody look at this fucking wrinkly fucking ball sack looking thing and be like fucking like, oh my God, that thing's cute and blah, blah, blah. I'd just be like, ah, it's another fucking weird alien. Like, it shouldn't be like a shocker of like, this is like something, some strange looking thing I haven't seen before. It's like all these weird fucking races and fucking people with devil horns and all this shit. So like that shit didn't work again. And like a couple of the middle episodes, it kind of felt like formulaic. Like, I don't know if they could keep doing this. Like every episode is just like, all right, he goes to a new fucking planet. And some of this shit just felt like rushed, like why, it just felt like so contained into like this one episode. It's like, all right, beginning, he's going to fucking like land. He's going to go to this fucking planet. There's going to be some problem there he's going to solve. And then by the end of the episode, then all these bounty hunters are going to come for fucking Baby Yoda because he has some like tracking thing on him. And I don't know why the fuck the Mandalorian's like some fucking professional bounty hunter, and he still is like, keeps being shocked the fact that people can track this fucking Baby Yoda that has a fucking bounty on him. Every time he's like, oh, it's the tracker. And it happens like three times. It's like, oh, we better leave. Oh, we're not safe on this planet. We have to leave. And he fucking leaves the planet. And then the next episode, he fucking, it's like, oh, I'll go to a new planet or something to fix my ship. And then like towards, it's like, oh, some problem here he solves. And like, so like, I don't know if they I don't know how long I can keep seeing the same formula going over and over. But it felt like, just felt like some of the shit just felt rushed, and some of it felt like it was taking too, like they were dragging on for too long. It's like, it would have been cool if we stayed at this, stayed at like this one location for like two or three episodes, and they built up like the characters around them and all this shit. The main one in particular was fucking the one with the AT-ST walker or whatever, when some like raider group had like an AT-ST and they'd fucking raid these locals and shit, and like he stopped to help them, and then like within like the half an hour show or whatever, he's like, oh, I fell in love with some widow when she's trying to like take his helmet off for the first time and blah, blah, blah. It's like, and this and like he meets some other character. It's like, oh, we should settle down here. It's like that would have worked like a Magnificent Seven thing if they stretch it out for like two or three or four episodes and really took their time doing that. It just felt like so like rushed, and it was just fucking like, the fuck was that? Like some of the like shit like that was just fucking, wasn't a fan. But overall it was good. And I will say, actually somebody lent me their password for Disney Plus, and I'm glad I didn't fucking pay for it myself, because it'd be one of those things, if you just buy it like standalone, it'd be like, oh yeah, dude, fucking watch it, it's pretty cool. But because it's like, so it's exclusive to fucking Disney Plus, and fucking, dude, I was looking through that, and the whole reason I'm like, dude, it's like one of these fucking streaming services where it was like, why the fuck would I get a Disney Plus streaming service? Like, there's probably all going to be like kids movie crap on there, nothing I would want to see. And sure enough, like I was just fucking looking, it's like, well, I have the fucking password. It's like, let's see what else is on here. Nothing I would ever fucking watch in my life, dude. Like, it's ridiculous. So, that was, nice that I could fucking, I got to watch the show for free. But yeah, it's not bad. I will say that. Yep. And, all hail Baby Yoda. So, yep. Sure. Gruntfreepress.com. I already did all that shit. So, fuck off.